May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn number 935. Let everlasting glories crown thy head, my Saviour and my Lord. Thy hands have brought salvation down and writ the blessings in thy word. Hymn 935.
From the Holy Word of God. Let us read this evening in the Gospel of Luke some verses in chapter 8 and then some verses in chapter 21. First of all, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. We'll read from verse 1 to verse 21. And he looked up and saw, I've turned straight away to Luke 21. Luke 8, verses 1 to 21. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, whoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee." And he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Now turning to chapter 21, chapter 21, and we'll read from verse 29. Sorry, did I say chapter 21? From verse 29 to verse 33. Luke chapter 21, verse 29 to 33. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things, come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed in yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God, the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. May the Lord grant his blessing upon the reading of his holy word to us each. And may he now help us to pray. O thou most holy, almighty and eternal God, we thank thee, Lord, that we have the privilege to gather ourselves around thy word, although not in the physical presence one of another. Lord, we pray for the unity of thy spirit and the bond of thy peace, that we may be as one before thee tonight, one under the sound of the precious gospel, one under the influence of thy spirit. Lord, do hear the prayers that have been put up prior to this time of worship. And Lord, do grant those answers that this time is not a time in vain. Thou knowest, Lord, our needs. Thou knowest what we have need of before we ask, but thou wilt be inquired of. Lord, our great need is the forgiveness of our sins daily. Lord, thou knowest all that has been of transgressions and iniquity in our hearts even this day. Lord, no day, no hour are we guiltless before thee. For thy word says that which is not of faith is sin. Oh, Lord, we are taken up so much with the things of time, the things of sense, our duties, our responsibilities, which have to be attended to. And Lord, in the midst of them, our hearts will so readily carry us away. And we lose sight of Jesus and his cross. Oh, Lord, do have mercy upon us. Do remember that we are but dust. Lord, bring us again and again humbly to the footstool of thy mercy. Lord, hear each heart, each broken and contrite heart poured out before thee in confession of sin. And, oh, Lord, we pray thy blessing that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, do give us that faith to look unto Jesus, faith in that shed blood, a faith knowing, oh Lord, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So keep us, Lord, humbly, humbly at the footstool of thy mercy that endureth forever. Lord, it's upon this ground that we come to worship this night. Pardon for sinners, even such as we. O Lord, do break the hard hearts and do heal the broken heart. Lord, may some good work be done in our midst even this night, that this time of worship, oh, for one and another, may prove to be a time of blessing, thine appearing. Lord, be with the children and the young people. Lord, those that may be listening here this evening, Lord, we ask thy rich blessing upon them. Lord, they're living in very difficult days, unstable days, which affects all of us. But, oh, the effect upon them in education and occupation. Oh, Lord, may they find that thou art the same. Help them to pray, to commit their way unto thee. Lord, make them the lambs and the sheep of thy fold. And, oh, do bless them with the knowledge of thy saving grace. Lord, keep those at school safe from all the evil that is so readily put before them this day. And, Lord, do not let it poison their hearts and their minds. But, Lord, we pray thou would help parents and the Sunday school, Lord, in teaching the children the way of truth, and thou wilt bless it unto their souls by thy Spirit. Lord, help each of us, no matter what our age, day by day. Oh, Lord, do remember those who may be sick at this time, even, Lord, with the virus that is still so prevalent in our nation and throughout the world. Lord, those that are affected, oh, do not let it be in its severity. May the symptoms be mild, and Lord, do grant a full recovery. Lord, we do need thee to shield us round about. Lord, we can conduct ourselves wisely and carefully and fearfully to reduce all risk physically. But Lord, thou must shield us. And we pray, Lord, as we have understand and heard that there is the potential of some vaccine to bring the power of that virus virtually to nothing. Oh, Lord, we thank thee where there's the wisdom given to prepare these things. But we pray thou wilt remove the virus completely, Lord, from this nation and from the world. Lord, do remove all the restrictions we have upon us at this time. Lord, do bring about the privileges that we once enjoyed. Lord, and may we value them more and more as we can gather together again in the courts of thy house, around thy word, and Christ the glory in our midst. Lord, do bring these days to come once more. Until then, Lord, we thank thee for the technology. Even that means we are using this night. Lord, that thy word can still go forth. Oh, may it go forth, Lord, it is not bound. May it still find an abiding place in many a heart. And Lord, the Bibles that have been taken from in front of the chapel, Lord, those who have taken them, oh, we pray, Lord, thou wilt bless thy word to those souls. Lord, do quicken them in the power of thy spirit. Bring them humbly to thy feet. And may they find to know what it is to be a sinner, saved by thy grace, their pardon sealed and peace with thee, and now their God. Oh, Lord, do use these solemn days. Lord, do use them to bring many that are dead in trespasses and in sins. Lord, to realize that thou art God and they are mortals of this earth in trespasses and in sins. And Lord, do cause them to cry, bring them to seek, and the seeking ones to find their soul's salvation. So, Lord, may there be a gracious prosperity in the building up of thy church upon this earth through these solemn days. Give wisdom to our government. Oh, Lord, we've prayed and we've prayed that the chapel doors may remain open under the law of the land. But, Lord, it has not come to pass. And, Lord, we mourn over this, but we pray thou wilt appear, Lord, in thy spirit to affect the hearts and the minds of our government. Lord, do soften them. Oh, to give that permission, Lord, that we gather to ourselves together once more. Lord, we're under thy chastening hand, for we have grievously sinned. We've turned to the materialism and the prosperity in physical things in our earthly lives. And do we not value them more than we value the shed blood of Christ? Lord, we are fallen. Oh, it is with Ephesus we've left our first love. Lord, oh, give us that gracious repentance to turn again where Christ is first, Christ is last, Christ is all in all, the chiefest among 10,000, and the altogether lovely one. Lord, hear the prayers of each one in their needs, in their circumstances. Lord, bless the church at Swavesey and the congregation. Help the deacons. Bless the ministry of thy word through those appointed to preach. Lord, oh, may there be the joyful sound. And poor blessed are they that hear it. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. May it be so. Hear us, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Let us now sing part of hymn number 21. We'll sing verses 1 to 3 and 7 to 10. The wandering world inquires to know why I should love my Jesus so. What are his charms, say they, above the objects of a mortal love? Hymn number 21, omitting verses 4, 5, and 6.
This evening, it's a special service with the Trinitarian Bible Society also in mind. And I will give just a few brief remarks about some of the work which the Trinitarian Bible Society are doing. And then I will commit them briefly to the Lord in prayer. Now, the Trinitarian Bible Society work, as you are perhaps fully aware, is a very broad work, translating the Word of God into many foreign tongues. And many people like you and me have not heard of some of these tongues. There are still over 40 translation projects at various stages of translation, right from the beginning of the translation, right through to printing and distribution of the Word of God. And this takes a lot of dedication and can take a long period of time. A recent report concerns the Thadu Bible. Now, the Thadus are an ethnic tribe native to the northeastern part of India and eastern Bangladesh. There's the order of about 300,000 of them. And 200,000 live in the Indian state of Manipur. Way back in 1973, the Trinitarian Bible Society published their first edition of the New Testament in the Thadu language. Now, that was nearly 50 years ago. And so it's close now on 5 decades, and only just the entire Thadu Bible is ready to print. The TBS rejoiced that 11,000 copies of the Bible have recently arrived in India, although it took over 3 months in its transit from the USA. There are lots of hindrances from beginning to end in this work. The scriptures are now to pass through the Indian customs and the border, what we might say, bureaucracy, and hopefully then going onwards to Manipur. They're eagerly waited by the Thadu tribe. The TBS has done this work in partnership on this project with the First Bible International, a charity, who raised the funds for these scriptures to be printed. And they have been printed in Ohio in the USA. There are several translation projects going on various tongues in India. In Africa, the Ivory Coast, earlier this year, the Society have sent over 2,000 copies of the Golden Thoughts calendars in the French language. But in the Ivory Coast, There's also approximately 800,000 people who speak a language called Dan. And there's a further 150,000 of them in Liberia. Way back again in the 1980s, or 1970s rather, a project was undertaken to publish the New Testament in the Dan Gio language, which was achieved in 1981. This work was overseen by a missionary couple who were serving in Liberia. But in March 1990, the couple was tragically murdered during the first Liberian civil war. That finished in 1997. And there's been a second civil war since. Many hundreds of thousands of people were killed. But in the year 2008, that's 12 years ago, the Lord raised up a new team who understood the Dan language better than previously. And they began revising the Dan New Testament to be closer conformed to the received text. So for the past 12 years, this small group with a project leaders based in the capital of Liberia, Monrovia, they have led a team of translators in the rural part of Liberia. Now, the travel between those two parts is very difficult, and in the long rainy seasons, it is impossible. Nevertheless, they've persevered. And in the early part of this year, 2020, they completed the final proofreading of the New Testament text. The TBS editorial staff are now checking the work, and once completed, it will be typeset. And then following just one more final proofreading, it will be ready for printing. How long it takes for this work, doesn't it? From beginning to end. From time to time, the TPS hear of some unusual circumstances concerning the distribution of the Word of God. Recently, there was a report that in Ireland, in the seaport of Dublin, Russian Bibles were being distributed. There was a man there at the port who was giving Russian TBS translated Russian Bibles to sailors, to seamen. The report said 60 of your Russian TBS Bibles were given last night to the seamen's mission on Dublin port. Many Russian seamen these days are asking for Russian Bibles on the ships when they visit. And this week he was asked for many Russian Bibles on the streets. Who knows where the Lord is working to give a hunger, an appetite for his holy word. Now, nearer home here in our own country, the work continues in spite of the restrictions due to the virus. It has hindered the work practically, where the TBS down at Tyndale House have not been able to meet together as freely as they would. But the work has continued, and many Bibles, many publications have been distributed. There's one great concern, and that's regarding the posters at railway stations. As you may know, owing to one complaint by one person, that the TBS poster displayed on Kettering railway station, which was put there by the West Anglia TBS auxiliary. Through that complaint, the railway authority over the station has deemed such a poster is religious advertising, and so it has been banned. It has never been regarded as religious advertising before. It just displays the word of God. And the ban now affects many stations under the same railway company, who use a particular advertising agency named J.C. Decker. Both the railway company and the advertising agent have been very slow to respond to the complaints raised by the Trinitarian Bible Society. In fact, some of their communications have conflicted with each other. The Society are finding it rather frustrating because they must know the exact position of the railway company and the advertising agency before considering whether legal action is the right way forward. Oh, how we need to pray, don't we? The Lord will still permit his word to be publicly displayed in our land, in these places where many people can read it. It doesn't affect the whole of the country. The Trinitarian Bible Society say that 1/3 of stations still have TBS texts displayed at present, and hopefully they will continue. But we hope that this dispute with the local railway authorities and J.C. Decker will soon be resolved. So there's a need still for much prayer to the Lord to maintain his help and guidance to the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society. After the retirement of the General Secretary, Paul Rowlands, the TBS is still endeavouring to put together a new organisational structure to carry on the work and to extend it if it can. So your continued prayerful and practical support is much appreciated by them. Let us have a word of prayer on behalf of the Trinitarian Bible Society. O Lord, we do thank thee for the Trinitarian Bible Society that publishes thy holy word in those faithful translations in our own country and throughout the world. Lord, we bear them before thee, help them as they undertake to do all for the good of many souls and to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, we pray thou will supply all the resource that they need, not just financial, but those translators, the public speakers, the managerial ones, the distribution, those in the warehouse, and Lord, all aspects of the work. Lord, we do commend it to thee. May thy word still go forth, have free course, and be glorified throughout this world. O Lord, do remove the restrictions and the hindrances which can arise in so many of the lands, in their customs and their authorities. Lord, thy word is hated in so many lands, but may thy word still get through to thy people that have a hunger and a thirst for it. So, Lord, we pray thou wilt help the Trinitarian Bible Society to continue, prosper their work, may it redound to thine honour and to thy glory. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Let us now turn to the holy word of God. And I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21 and verse 33. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 33. heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The creation of God, the heaven and the earth and all that is in it, is temporal. That includes you and it includes me. We're here but for a relatively short time. But God's word that created all things is eternal. Now, God's word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God spoke. He spake and it was done. In the beginning, the scriptures tells us, was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh, says John, and dwelt amongst us, full of truth and grace. Now, when Jesus came upon this earth, he spoke the words of the Father. He didn't say they were his own earthly words. He says they were the words of his Father. As the Father said unto me, so I speak. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the voice of God. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him and whilst he was here upon this earth. And his words are their spirit and they are truth. And as we have in our text, they shall not pass away. You see how Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He was foreordained before the foundation of the earth. And now living in the glorious kingdom, which he hath prepared for his people and with the Father. And there, as he says, I am he that was dead and am alive again, and am alive for evermore. All power is given to Christ in heaven and in earth. In Peter's epistle, he speaks about the creation, even about the great flood by the word of God. And he says, by the same word, the world is kept in store. So, through Christ, the word of God, all things continue in accordance with the will of God and the purpose of God. Oh, Peter says very solemnly, by the same word, the world is kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. Dear friends, when that day comes, we do not know. But what a solemn day it will be. The full truth concerning eternity will then be made known and clear. Either an eternity of heaven or eternity in hell. Until then, dear friends, many things take place upon this earth. They have done from the beginning. It was in Daniel, wasn't it, where we read of that vision of Nebuchadnezzar and that great beast, a head of gold and then of silver and brass and then of iron and clay, and the kingdoms that would come upon this earth, they were all ordained of God, by the word of God. He puts up one and he puts down another. When we consider today the nations of the world, they're ordained by God. And this pandemic which we have upon us at the moment, it's come by the word of God, his command, and it's for his purpose. How it will develop or how it will decline, we do not know, do we? The ways of God are hidden. His ways are past finding out. But, dear friends, we have some promises. Things work together for good for his chosen people. They work for a solemn judgment for the wicked. Well, what is the definition of the wicked? They have no fear of God before their eyes. God is not in all their thoughts. Or when we look at the world today, now we see there seems to be, if I can call it, the evil spirit that prevails in so many. The terrible, abominable practices that are done today, openly. There's no thought of God and the word of God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, but let us not look at others. Now we need to look at ourselves. You know, there's a solemn division, isn't there, in one of the parables of Jesus? That's the parable of the wheat and the tares. Only two types of people. The children of the kingdom and the children of the devil. Oh, this makes us tremble, doesn't it? Of what sort are we? The word of God. Dear friends, we've all heard it, haven't we? Excuse me. What effect has it had upon us? I tremble to really speak of these solemn things. What effect has the word of God, the truth as it is in Jesus, had upon us? Has it ever had an effect upon us? Upon our hearts. We read that well-known parable of Jesus concerning the sower. And there he describes four circumstances, or four cases, should I say, concerning the ground where the seed fell. There was the hard ground. There was the stony or the rocky ground. There was the cluttered ground with thorns. And there was the good ground. And when his disciples asked him, What is meant by this parable? Jesus explained it to them. And dear friends, what a solemn teaching it is. I wonder if we've ever read the parable and it searched our hearts. First, you know, we think of our own selves, that the word of God has fallen upon us. We've heard it. We've attended the house of God, perhaps many years. We've read the word of God ourselves. There's been the preaching of the word of God. The word of God has been sown. The good seed has come to our hearing. What has been the effect of it? Jesus spoke first of all concerning the wayside, the hard ground. There was no effect of the word of God there at all. Although it fell, the birds of the air came and took it away. Oh, how solemn if our hearts have been like that all our days. There's been no changing effect of our hearts through the word of God. You know, I once heard of a case of a lady attending a strict Baptist chapel in the Midlands. And she had to, or she desired, she had to, because of ill health, want to go into a care home. And it was a Christian care home. And she had to prepare a sheet, entrance form, and had to give a short account of her experience, the things of her religion. And she wrote how she'd been at the same chapel all her life, born there and brought up in the Sunday school to say recitations, and she'd learnt the scriptures by heart. She'd always been to the prayer meetings and always been to the services whenever the house of God was open. The deacon said to her, "Have you got anything else to say?" And she said, "What else do you want?" And he realised that throughout all her many years, the house of God, in hearing the word of God, she'd never known any effect upon her heart. All her religion was that of an outward custom and practice, attendance, and no knowledge of the power of the word of God. Oh, dear friends, I pray this will be not the case with any of us. How we need to pray earnestly, don't we, that we are not left to such a hard state, a hard heart, satisfied with our own doings, satisfied just with our own comings and goings. It sets up a self-righteousness within us, doesn't it? And our own righteousnesses will never get us into heaven. Oh, how we need to pray, "Lord, soften my heart, that I may receive thy word." What about that stony ground? Or as the rock in Luke's gospel, as we read, there was an initial effect. There was a time when the word of God entered in, which brought a keenness from that heart, as I trust, to obey the word of God. But it didn't last, because there was no depth of root when troubles came. So therefore there was no real rooting in the love of Christ. You know, I believe there's a scriptural example of that, and it might surprise you when I say it was Peter. You know, Peter was a keen follower, wasn't he? For 3 years of Jesus Christ. The truth was revealed in him concerning that Jesus was the Son of God. And yes, he was the way of eternal life. And Peter held fast to Jesus. He declared his love to the Master. Oh, after that Last Supper, when Jesus spoke solemnly to his disciples, he said he would where he went, they could not go. Peter says, why can we not go? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Oh, how bold was Peter. And yet when he came into the trial and the temptation, when his own life he felt was at risk, when he was accused of being one of Jesus' disciples in the palace of the high priest, oh, the weakness of his flesh. No, he couldn't. He couldn't say that. And he denied Jesus with oaths and curses. Why did Peter do that? You know, he had not yet come into the fullness of the knowledge of the blessing through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And much of his religion was still, as we might say, in his head. And when he came to trial and temptations, the threat of his life, his flesh couldn't take hold upon it. It gave way. Oh, how solemn that was, wasn't it? You know, when I was young, I was still in the Methodist Church. There was a boy in the Sunday school who was most disruptive. But he went, I trust, perhaps with older brother and sister, or perhaps with his parents. He went to an evangelical campaign. I think it may have been a Billy Graham campaign. And he came back a completely changed young man. He longed to read the Word of God. He was a good listener in the Sunday school classes. And a few years later, he said he wanted to go into the ministry. And as was the custom, he was allocated to a local minister. And he followed him around to be taught the way and the manner of preaching and so forth. He married the daughter of the organist of the church where I attended. And they had a family. And then he found his wife was being unfaithful. And this had a very solemn effect upon him. He left his wife and his children. And after a time, he got associated with another lady. And they lived together. And he stopped going to chapel. He never continued with the worship of God. And he died very young. The Lord took him. Oh, it was a solemn case. Oh, be not, oh, thinking that you will stand in the times of tribulation and temptations if we do not know the fullness of the grace of God, of Christ, in our hearts. The third case of Jesus was that ground which was full of thorns. Was cumbered about, wasn't it, with those things which grew, and although the seed was on the ground and it began to grow, it did not bring forth fruit to perfection. That's fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, the cares of the world choked the word. Yes, it grew for a time, but it was never complete. It was hindered. Hindered by the love and the value given to earthly possessions. Well, that's something we have to be very cautious of, isn't it? We have many earthly possessions. And our hearts by nature can so easily go after them in covetousness and as if we cannot live without them. For our earthly comfort, our earthly good. But, you know, there's one solemn example in the scriptures, isn't there? That's the follower of Paul, the Apostle Paul. His name appears at the end of some of Paul's epistles, and that is Demas. In the last of Paul's epistles to Timothy, he says, Demas hath left me, having loved this present world. He carried on so far, but then, oh, he never lost the value and the love of this world, that it should always be beneath the love of Jesus and that shed blood on Calvary for the forgiveness of his sins and the hope of eternal life. And how many have grown up, brought up to attend the house of God? And where are they now? Or they've left the thing of God, the worship of God, and cleaving unto temporal things of this world. You know, we have a case, don't we, in Scripture, of Asaph. Asaph, I trust, was a young man. And he saw the pleasures of the wicked. They didn't seem to be in trouble like others. He said they seemed to have more than heart could wish. And his feet, he wanted to go that way. What a temptation. He says his feet had well nigh slipped. He was a Levite. He was brought up to attend the tabernacle, to the temple. And it was his duty to help in the worship and the ceremonies there. But his heart was far from it. And he went one more time into the sanctuary, didn't he? And there the Lord met with him. The Lord showed him the end of the wicked. Oh, what a teaching that must have been. It was a witness of the Holy Spirit that showed him the end of the ungodly. The end of those who went that way of the wicked where his feet had almost slipped. And it changed his heart. The Lord prepared a way whereby his heart was changed as made soft. Oh, and he came to confess, didn't he? I was as a beast before thee. A beast. No hope. Oh, his soul was as dead as one without a soul, such as a beast. Got no hope of eternal life. He was a wretched, guilty sinner. He had a hard heart, but it was softened. You know, we all need that work, don't we? We all need that work to soften our hard hearts by nature. You know, with Asaph, the love of the riches, which he had to begin with, were taken away. It was all darkened now. I wonder I wonder what came of Asaph. Yes, he wrote several psalms, didn't he? But the main thing was he became a sinner, a saved by grace. What a testimony he gave, didn't he? What a testimony he gave after he had received this witness by the Spirit of the dreadful end of the wicked. He says, oh, my heart and my flesh fail. They still fail. He'd got no goodness in his own. In his flesh dwelt no good thing. But God is the strength of mine heart and my portion forever. Well, that's in Psalm 73, verse 36. God is the strength of mine heart and my portion forever. How he needed the Lord to hold him, contain, and make him strong and to grow in grace through the remainder of his days. You know, we have another psalmist. I think it's in Psalm 119, where the psalmist says, how sweet are thy words to my taste. How sweet are thy words to my taste. Dear friends, have you ever had an experience like that? You've come to the house of God, or you've been reading your Bible at home. Perhaps you've been in that state of rebelliousness. Perhaps you knew you were a sinner. You were burdened under it. And as you read, oh, that precious word of truth as it is in Jesus, it touched your heart. It melted you under the power of it. To see that in your solemn state, there was hope for you, the forgiveness of sins, your soul's salvation, that there may be yet a place prepared in heaven for you. Oh, how sweet that word was, wasn't it, to your taste? That was as it was with the Thessalonians when Paul preached to them. The word, the gospel, was not in word only, but it was in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And it changed your heart. It renewed your will, like it did Asaph. And the old things passed away. All things became new. You saw things in a new light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the prepared ground. That's the good ground. Oh, the thorns have now been taken away, the love of the riches of this world. Yes, we still need them in measure. We still have to deal with so many things. But, oh, the cross of Christ is now the glory. What about those fears? Like poor Peter had, the weakness of his flesh. Oh, the fear of God is now greater than the fear of man. And in your trials and tribulations, oh, you're now founded upon the truth as it is in Jesus. Because his word, it abides forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, we shall. But my word, says Jesus, shall never pass away. What he's done in you through the power of his word, he's done it forever. And what is that word? That word is the word of love and mercy that sounds from Calvary. All this is done for you. It is finished. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. The sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God, the shed blood through which there's remission of sins, applied by the Holy Spirit, we have joy and rejoicing of heart. And what a comfort there is in this word, isn't there? Heaven and earth shall pass away. That may bring fear. It brings fear to the ungodly. but my word shall not pass away. Oh, that word, what is granted to you, it will abide forever. Oh, you'll have experience of trials and tribulations, as Jesus said, but it will never overcome those words of redeeming love unto your soul. Nothing can separate you from that love, and that love will carry you from time into a blessed eternity. Oh, perhaps you'll often cry, Lord, remember the word upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in the time of mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Thy word that quickened me. Dear friends, you will never lose its power. You'll never forget it where it's applied by the Spirit. Or is this your case? The election of God. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That place reserved in heaven, the price has been paid. Him to come again in that last day, that day of judgment. Oh, there'll be many terrible things before that day, the Scripture tells us. But he says, yea, down to whore hairs will I carry you. He won't let you fall. And so Jude says unto him that is able to keep us from falling. Oh, our dependence upon Jesus Christ, on his word of truth. The truth, there's pardon for sinners, redemption by his blood, eternal life. I give unto my sheep eternal life. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. No man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And dear friends, that will abide forever. Because it's an eternal word, it's an eternal love. None shall pluck you out of his hand. And one day, all you'll rejoice in heaven to be with him forevermore. Oh, what a word is this. You know, we did read, didn't we, in Luke chapter 8, immediately following the parable. Here Luke carries on and says the words of Jesus about such things. Such knowledge of Christ is like a light put on a candlestick. It's not put under a bed. It's not put under a measuring jug to be hidden. Oh, this truth as it is in Jesus is to be proclaimed, like Asaph proclaimed it. What a testimony. Like all those of the early church, oh, when they received this knowledge of the redeeming love of Christ. Dear friends, they testified of it. Dear friends, have you got anything to say you have not spoken? Oh, do cause these things, these truths, to search your heart. You know, it is only not the word. What did Jesus say concerning his brethren? If I could just turn to it. When they said his mother and his brethren were for him, were waiting for him. Jesus said, I just turn to the scripture so I quote it properly. Jesus said that my mother and my brethren are these that hear the word of God and do it. And do it. Oh, dear friends, if you love him because of his love for you, your heart has been made that prepared ground. You receive the word of God. And your desire is to grow in his grace, the knowledge of his love. Then there's to be a witness in our conduct. There's to be a witness in how we live. He hath showed thee that which is good. What doth he require of thee? But to love mercy, do justly, to walk humbly with thy God. And if we love him, we're to obey his commands, all of them, not letting any slip, that all may be to his honour and to his glory, who hath prepared you, that you, through prayer unto the Lord, may be amongst those who bring forth fruit, maybe 100-fold, maybe 60-fold, maybe 30-fold. If you live in the Spirit, then we must walk in the Spirit. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, and neither will those to whom he speaks his word in power, to the blessing of their soul. They shall live with him forevermore. Amen.
The collections after this service will be for the Trinitarian Bible Society. God willing, Mr. Timothy Parish will preach next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 573. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in his name to trust. And with pleasure in him as my portion boast. Hymn 573.
O Lord, we ask thy blessing upon thine own word. Pardon all that has been amiss, but cause thy word still to go forth. Find abiding place in many a heart through the power and witness of the Holy Ghost. O Lord, may we be numbered in that people where thy word comes in that power to break our hearts, to soften them, to turn our affections heavenward, where Christ is all our glory. Lord, we do pray that it may be so as we've sung, that one thing needful, and oh, there in glory to sing to him that died. Lord, reveal this truth in each one of us. Maintain us in the way of thy truth. Do keep us from falling. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with each one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.